give us a song of rejoice.
Let me invite you this morning to Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Matthew 16, verse 1.
Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, again asking for your blessing and for the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you and worship you in truth and spirit, that you would be highly exalted, and Lord, that our lives would be empowered to be the witness you've called us to be, and that we might share the grace of God with others that need, Lord, your salvation, and need your encouragement as well. Bless your word, Lord. Bless each one here, and may souls be strengthened and saved for your honor and glory. Through the ministry here at Northwood Baptist Church, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is A Sign from Heaven, A Sign from Heaven. This is a little bit different. I usually will preach out of Proverbs 31 for Mother's Day, or I'll preach about Hannah or Mary or another godly mom, but I'm convinced as we consider this that you'll see it's very applicable for moms and dads, and for those who love their children, and that is a sign from heaven, a sign from heaven. Now, there's two ways to look at this, and we'll see this here in just a moment, but I want you to understand that God is in the business of building the faith of his children. You believe that? God wants to meet with you and I here this morning. God's word has promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, and even more specifically in his church, that he is right there in the midst to speak to us and that we might have receptive and hearing hearts. I am convinced, as we mentioned just earlier, that Naomi was an influence, a godly influence to Ruth and Orpah. And that's the kind of influence I believe that every mom and dad wants to be to their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And if you have great-great-grandchildren, consider yourself blessed. Amen? And God wants us to be that influence, and because God is that influence in each and every one of our lives. So he wants each child to have a personal revelation from him. Let me ask you this morning, why are you here? Just for you to answer to yourself, why are you here this morning? Did you come expecting to hear from the Lord? Did you come expecting for God to speak to you through his word? Did you come expecting to receive a revelation from the Lord that will strengthen your faith and draw you closer to him and give you more of his peace and more of his joy? Because if we're not coming expecting that, we won't receive it. Because the Lord says, hey, listen, be it according unto your faith. Be it unto you according to your faith. So if we don't come with faith, and by the way, God says, if you're going to approach me, you're going to need to do it in faith, because that means you believe that I am a rewarder of those who are seeking me. And by the way, diligently seeking me. Now, if you didn't do that this morning and pray and call upon the Lord, you can do that right now. God, I need you. Forgive me. Lord, I've gotten caught up in this, that, and the other, and have forgotten to call upon you that you might bless the service this morning and that you might speak to me this morning. And I believe God hears that. I want to look at a couple of thoughts here, four specific thoughts. Just spend a few moments on each one. And that is, first of all, a dishonest approach. Is it possible for a child of God to have a dishonest approach? Is it possible for people of God to have a dishonest approach to the Lord? It is. Secondly, I want you to see the Lord's answer. Then I want you to see the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then lastly, we'll look at more important things. As we consider this text right here this morning, I want you to realize that the Lord had his 12 disciples that were right there with him. And God wants to disciple you and I to a greater understanding of our relationship with the Lord. But let's look at a dishonest reproach. Verse 1 says this, "The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven." Now, when you consider this here, I want you to know that these Pharisees and these Sadducees did not know that the Holy Spirit was going to pen down and reveal their very hearts. Nobody during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees approached, let me just give you the perspective from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're somebody important. Hey, listen, we have graced your presence and this meeting with our presence. And yet they don't even realize that they should have come looking to the Lord for his blessing. And if we're not careful, listen, it is quite possible that we get caught up in the routine of things and forget why we're coming into the house of the Lord and why we open up the Word of God. Do you know, I am convinced every time we open up the Word of God, we can hear something fresh and vibrant and worth looking into concerning the Word of God. So this morning, I want you to notice here that these Pharisees had a dishonest approach. They weren't looking to receive anything from the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Do you think people today go to church not expecting to receive anything from the Lord? In fact, do you think there are people that might even come with the idea of finding fault or ridicule concerning the things of the Lord? That's a sad state to be in. We don't receive anything. And I'm not speaking about God's children. There may be skeptics, those who are unsure or maybe even unconcerned. And in this case, this was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So they wanted to see a sign from heaven. And notice the Lord's answer here in verse 2. He answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." You ever heard that? Right. So there's a sign from heaven. When the sky is red at night, the next day is a sailor's delight. But if the sky is red in the morning, sailor, take warning. Oh my goodness, 2,000 years ago. So fathom this thought. They wanted to see a sign from heaven. You know what Jesus is telling them? You even know it. In other words, listen, why is it so consistent? Why is it that way? Because God created it that way. See, if we were just one cosmic accident, it wouldn't matter if the sky was red, blue, or green. It's going to do whatever it's going to do. But because there's a pattern and consistency, we see that there is the author of life that's behind it all. So here he is. He's saying, hey, listen, you guys say when it's evening, it's going to be fair weather, for the sky is red. And then verse 3, and in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Isn't that amazing? Here you are. You know what he's saying? The Messiah is in your very presence and you can't even see it. You know why? Because they have contradicted the word of God and flipped it around to benefit them instead of for it to guide them into the truth. And so they were manipulating the word of God for their own gain, for their own purposes, and they left God completely out of the equation. Listen, if we're not careful, we look at the word of God and we leave God out of the equation, and you and I also can miss out, as children of God, the presence of God. God wants his presence in our life. Right? He wants his presence, his being, that we might be sensitive to him. But he also wants to bless our lives. It's a win-win situation with the Lord. And so he's wanting them to understand. He's answering them. Remember what they said? Hey, Lord, we want you to show us a sign from heaven. He's giving them a sign. He's letting them understand that, look, you can discern the weather because of the consistency of God's creation, but because of your hypocrisy, you're missing out the greatest sign of all that you've been reading and studying about and claim to know about, and that is the coming of the Savior. And so he called them hypocrites. Now, no doubt, maybe they probably got their feathers ruffled and got all upset. But if they were willing to listen to the truth, let me say that again. If they were willing to listen to the truth, they would have to say, yeah, you know what? There is some hypocrisy in my life. And I don't want to live a hypocrite's life where I proclaim one thing and live another. Do you think it is possible for children of God to be living hypocritical lives today? And God doesn't want us to live that kind of a life. And there's only one reason why we live a life of hypocrisy. That is the absence of God in our life. I didn't say salvation. I said the absence of God in our life. Lord, I want to bring you into my life because you are the one that's going to change my life. And listen, the Lord is constantly working with his disciples. Let me ask you to ponder this thought here. Maybe a question. Do you think the disciples had an advantage being in the very presence of God, seeing his expression, seeing the interaction? What would you think if you were one that was in the presence of the Lord? Do you think you'd have an advantage? If I could just see his face, if I could just communicate with him, if I could just understand him, and maybe we would say, yeah, I think I'd have a little bit more of an advantage. And that might be true, and that might be so, but I want you to know that God has given to us his Holy Spirit that guides us into all these things, all these truths. And so I want you to consider the life of these disciples here in just a moment, because even though they were in the very presence of the Lord, they kept missing him. Even though they were in the very presence of God, they kept missing him. So really, in all essence, I don't think they really have anything. I mean, don't get me wrong. It was a special time for them. It really was. And it's going to be a special time for you and I when we see the Savior face to face. But I am convinced God has not left us ill-equipped. I believe he's equipped us perfectly as we need to be equipped to walk and follow after him. So I want you to see right here as we consider this here, we find that he tells them, I'm going to give you a sign that you're asking for, really, the only one that you're capable of receiving, and that is the sign of the prophet Jonas. Look at verse 4, and a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. Listen, that is a hard place to be at. Here they were thinking they were going to grace God with their presence. or the prophet, and then he says, hey, listen, here's what I think about what you're coming to offer me. I'm walking away from it. I'm walking away from it. Here, you're coming to give me something that I'm not even asking for. And you're asking me for something that you're completely missing. See, we don't approach God and say, this is what I want from you. God is saying, oh, no, listen, there's a problem with that, and that is the humble spirit. Lord, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you want from me? Because you are the creator, and I am the created. And so I should be paying you respect, not making demands. And so here they are. They've got this all turned around. And so he says, I'm going to give you this sign, the sign of the prophet Jonas. What was that sign? Remember that prophet? Was he a faithful prophet? If you read the prophet Jonah, not even at the end was he happy with what God was doing in his life. Listen, God used him to cause Nineveh to repent and to receive the Lord. And he was not even happy with that. He went up and he got himself in a high place where he could look down and say, okay, God, I'm waiting on you now. These wicked people, he was waiting for the judgment of God to fall on them. And you know the story, the Lord provided him shelter, and he destroyed the shelter, and Jonah was all put out with that. You know, if we're not careful, we can get put out with what God is trying to give us. Did the Israelites do that in the wilderness when God was feeding them with the manna? Just a little bit? We can do that as well. So let me ask you this. Does God want his children to have a personal revelation? There's a sign from heaven, and God's really given many signs. I mean, look at the weather. Look at the seasons. All that is governed by the hand of God. But I want you to consider this. Does God want his children to have a personal revelation from the Lord? And the answer is yes. Is it possible to miss the revelation of God? Look with me, if you will, in verse 15 here. And remember, this is where the Lord is asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? Verse 15, he saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a proclamation. But watch this, verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Did you see that? Peter just got a personal revelation from the Lord. Jesus is saying, flesh and blood did not give you that. Is Peter flesh and blood? That didn't come from you, Peter. That came from my heavenly Father. Listen, I don't even know if Peter fully understood it till after the Lord said that, because you know what? It just came to him. And when the Lord said that, there's no doubt that he made a connection and said, yes, God did give that to me. Where did that come from? And that is the work of the Spirit of God. And that's what he's wanting to do in your life and mine. He is wanting to guide our life into the truth. Peter would have never gotten that result unless the Lord was involved in the answer. But now the problem is that these Pharisees and these Sadducees were not coming with a humble heart. They weren't following the Lord. Peter was. Question, did the disciples, in spite of God's revelation, have any problems? Yes, they did. Did they have any failures? Yes, they did. Aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad that he who promised is faithful to complete the work all the way to the end? That's our God. He is the one. Now here's the problem. Are we resting in his great faithfulness or in ours? Are we looking to our righteousness or God's righteousness? See, God wants us to understand what we need to see and what we need to understand, because he does not want us to fail. In fact, he gave us his Son that we might have success and good success and daily success. But we must realize our dependence upon him. So here are the disciples. I believe they love the Lord. I believe you love the Lord if you're saved. It's just an inborn thing of the Spirit that we love our Savior. But it may be that we've misunderstood him and not enjoying him as he would have us to enjoy. So the Lord is in the business, as a godly mother would be, in wanting to point us to the truth. And wanting us to understand the real purpose of life that's wrapped up in God. Jesus is more concerned about you and I walking in the freedom and the liberty and in the joy of his salvation. So I want you to see just one more thought here, and that is more important things. Here are these people that have a dishonest approach. They want to see a sign from heaven. They get the sign of the prophet Jonas. And then there are the disciples there that get a personal revelation from the Lord. But now I want you to see what's going on here in verse 5. Ready? And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. The Holy Spirit is wanting us to get the inside scoop. He's wanting us to see this. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now he just was speaking with the Sadducees, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The disciples were in the presence. They were seeing all of that. And now the Lord tells them to be careful, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy and the Sadducees. And they reasoned. Remember now, they're in the presence of God. Is it possible for children of God, in the presence of God, to miss what God is saying? Right, it is. What should we do? Oh God, that I might not see and hear and miss you. Okay, now, here it is, ready? And they reasoned, verse 7, among themselves. That's a problem. If you want to reason with anybody, you better seek the Lord. Because we can reason among ourselves and we can miss God completely. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. We failed the bread test. And that's not what it's about. So they forgot the bread, didn't they? Notice verse 8, which when Jesus perceived. Now, let's remember, he is God in the flesh. And so he's walking in the flesh, and so he's now seeing the spirit of man. He's seeing, you know what he probably saw? The downcast faces. Oh no, we're in trouble. And so when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you've brought no bread. You've missed it. Forgotten bread. And then verses 9 and 10, he says, hey, listen, don't forget the revelation that you just received. God just gave them something. God just did something in their very presence. And not just a few moments later, they completely forgot what he did. So look at verse 9. Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Did you forget that? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? And by the way, that's just in verse 32 through 39. In the previous chapter. I mean, my goodness, they no longer moved away from that experience. They forgot. Can you and I forget as well? And we can miss out on the life-changing experience that's built upon faith. And what were they focusing in on? The temporal things. They missed the spiritual because they could not get past the physical. Listen, you and I will miss the spiritual because we cannot get past the physical. Do you think a godly mother wants their children to get caught up in the physical and miss the spiritual? No. Do you think our God wants us to get caught up in the physical and miss the spiritual? And yet it can happen. So he's correcting them. He's saying, listen, you guys are missing something here. Have you forgotten what you just received just moments ago? Well, how does that affect me? Because if God can take the little I have and bless it, I don't have to worry about the future. That doesn't mean I don't take concern for the future. That doesn't mean that I don't make preparations, but I don't have to worry about it. That's like David when he went out to face Goliath and everybody's shaking in their boots. This is the difference that faith in the revelation of God makes in the life of the believer. They're all shaking in their boots. Eliab, the big older brother, is also shaking in his boots and completely misunderstands why, listen, God ordained David to be there that day that he might show that, as we sung this morning, little is much when God is in it. And so here's big King Saul, head and shoulders above everybody else. You're not able to go up against him. You're just but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And what does David say? Well, God gave me a revelation about a lion and a bear. Personal. And he delivered my sheep into my hands and defeated both of them. And he said, this old giant and whatever giant you're facing in your life is no different than the others. Because it is God, not me, that will defeat them. And it will be God and not you and I that will bring the defeat into those who oppose God and his people. And so he says, how important is it that we do not miss the spiritual for the physical, because the physical is in our way. And so don't forget the revelation. Don't forget that you've been delivered before. Excuse me. And God will deliver you again. So notice what he says here. Verse 11. This is the important progression. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not of you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? And notice, then understood they. Isn't that great? They had a question. And they reasoned amongst themselves. They didn't just let it fall by the wayside. You and I ought to have a question also when we don't see. How is it, God, you said you would do this and this is not happening in my life? How is it, God, that you've promised to give me your peace and your joy and I don't see it? But if you never question it, you're not seeking God for it. I say we can just come to the place where we're willing just to accept it as failure. And it's just, I love the Lord, you love the Lord, but we're not going to have any victory in this department in our life. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to bring it to him and say, Lord, there's a problem. And then he says, I'm glad you asked. Let me show you where the problem's at. And so notice what's happening here. There's a problem. Hey, guys, we forgot to take bread. Now it gives the Lord an opportunity to say, wait a minute, you're 180 degrees in the wrong direction. Let me redirect you. Verse 11, how is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Why? Because it was leading them in the wrong direction. It was not leading them toward the Lord. It was leading them away from God. If we approach God simply in the temporal realm, we're going to miss the spiritual. Because God is, his presence is in the temporal realm, but his work is in the spiritual realm. The fruit of the Spirit is not found in the natural realm. It's found in the spiritual realm. It's found in God's realm. It's found in the eternal realm. And God, listen, more important than a sign from heaven, that's what the ungodly generation looks for. God wants to give you and I a personal revelation as he gave to David, that he might overcome the giants. He wants to give us a personal revelation like he gave Abraham and Sarah and gave them a child that brought forth the promise of God. He wants to give you and I a revelation like he gave the Israelites when he delivered them out of Egypt, and when he brought them in spite of themselves, and when he finally brought them after 40 years into the land of promise. Because God brought them out of Egypt to wander in the wilderness, or did he want to bring them into the promised land? You follow? God brought us out of the world to bring us into his promises and to live in them and to walk in them and to grow in them. But if we never question God, then God's not going to direct. Now, don't get me wrong. The mercy and the grace of God will intervene. And I think he's still working. But oh, so much more when we use faith and say, God, something is wrong. I'm looking at what your word is telling me. And there are things in my life that are not there, that you've already promised. Help me understand how to receive that. Help me understand how to walk in what you've already given, and you'll have your revelation. There's no doubt in my mind, God will supply every time his child calls upon him. So this morning, do you want to move forward in the truth? Do you want to move forward in your relationship with God. And here's the good news. God wants us to. He wants us to. Do you want to see a revelation from the Lord? Listen. Peter said, thou art the Son of God. And the Lord said, my Father gave you that. Listen, do you know that God wants to do work in your life and mine that we might see? God gave me that. God gave me that. The Holy Spirit will work this way. When Jesus said, I'm going to give you another one, I'm going to give you the Comforter, when the Comforter comes, that word Comforter is another one just like Christ. And so what he's going to say, when we see the fruit of God working in our lives, we're going to see it, and the Holy Spirit's going to say, that's mine. I just gave you that. And we're going to go, oh God, you're right. Because that didn't come from me. Do you think when the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Do you think Peter worshipped? Do you think Peter said, oh God, oh God. Do you think God would like for you and I to be in a place to receive what he has for us and for us to go, oh God, and worship him? It's God's will. It's God's will. As a loving heavenly Father, if we'll seek it and ask God, he'll reveal it and we'll receive it. But the choice is ours. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, your faithfulness to us. Lord, how undeserving we are and how faithful you are. And we thank you for that. Lord, may you be glorified and may you bring us to the place to where we worship you. May you draw our hearts closer to you, that we might experience your life-changing power, that we might glorify you by your grace and power in our lives, to testify to the world of your great mercy and grace. Meet each need, speak to each heart, and may we call upon you that you might show us great and mighty things that we've not even seen to this point. Bless and we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.